Okay, so today is the second day. So already we did our meditation, and especially guided meditation already twice. So today in this Dharma talk, I'll explain more about the whole picture of our practice. Yes. Okay. First we paid attention to the subtle body, subtle energy in our body. No? So point is, why should we do that? In what context? Like that, you know? Because Anapanasati is a very famous meditation, you know. But paying attention to the body, there are so many kinds of way of paying attention. So that's why maybe you are not sure what is the point. Okay? Then, the main subject of this retreat is Zen and mindfulness, you know. So, we have to understand the meaning of mindfulness and also what Zen is, you know. Okay? Then, maybe mindfulness already, you know, it's very like a popular word in the West and in India and in Japan too, you know. So, I explained about the whole background about mindfulness, and Zen itself, you know. Okay, so basic definition of mindfulness. Usually, if you go to any mindfulness class, they would explain like this: paying attention to any object without any dislike and like and dislike, without any judgment, without any twisted recognition, no? Then we accept everything as it is, no? Then people try to observe their breathing, or their mind, or their emotion, you know, as it is, you know. Then mindfulness teacher said, if you observe your anger or anything, then you will be free from your anger or like that. Okay? But like sounds so nice and promising, you know. Then students try to do it. You know, so if you don't do seriously, maybe you might feel maybe just a little bit good, you know. But if you try to be mindful seriously, you know, then you will find it's impossible. It's impossible. Why? Because we cannot observe things without any like and dislike, without any judgment, without any judgmental mind, like that. Okay? Then, if you practice more, little by little, you will know that my mental state is exactly opposite of mindfulness. Exactly opposite of mindfulness. And that's why people need mindfulness, of course, you know, because I am obsessed with the like and dislike, and I usually immediately, oh, he's like that, she's like that, wah. I know this is not good, you know. That's why I'm gonna observe things as it is, you know, as it is objectively, you know. Then we are shocked. oh, I cannot do it. No? So, anyway, mindfulness, you know, is of course English word. So, translation of something, what? It's a Pali word, it's a sati, and Sanskrit was smriti, you know? Smriti, okay? Then, this is the original word, sati. No? Then, English translation is mindfulness. No? Then, sati, oldest, like, then we, you know, anapanasati, anapanasati. It's ana and apana and sati. And ana is in-breath. And apana is out-breath, you know? So it means mindfulness of in-breath, out-breath, okay? Then, this is from Anapanasati Sutta. It's one of the oldest sutta Buddha himself taught this sutta itself, you know? Then, in this sutta, Buddha said, you know, you just go to the forest, you know? You just sit down under the any kind of tree, you know? Then you establish your mindfulness like this. Breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know I am breathing out. And this knowing is mindfulness, you know? So I know my mind is full of anger. I know that my mind is full of jealousy. I know that my mind is very lazy, or like that. So knowing things is mindfulness, you know? But still, you know, we are not so sure about this one. You know, why? Because we can know things very easily. You know, this is a water. I know this is water. I know this is a bell. I know she is a Suruchi. I know she is a Rie, or like that. So this kind of knowing, just ordinary knowing, and this mindfulness is the same. If it's same, so mindfulness is not so big deal, you know, because already I know many things, you know. I know many things already. So then I know I am breathing in, I know I am breathing out. That's it. If so, mindfulness is not so big deal, you know. But Buddha said you have to go to the forest and you should know that you are breathing in, you are breathing out. Then if you practice like this for 7 days, you know, 7 days, then you get enlightenment, you know, you get enlightenment, you know. Then we wonder, you know, just by knowing things, then we can get enlightenment, you know. If so, already people know things already enough, you know, we know so many things, you know. Comparing with 2,500, that's cool, you know? So then, now today's people, all of them are already get enlightenment? Of course not. So that's why we have to clearly know the difference between ordinary knowing and mindful knowing. You know? Then maybe you might think, oh, mindful knowing is like a knowing without judgment or without like and dislike or like that. And I know my mind, I know like that, you know. But point is, can you do that? If you really seriously try to be mindful, you would know that you cannot. If you still think, yeah, I can be mindful, then maybe you are not aware of your mind well, you know, because if you really check your mind, you will know that your mind is not mindful. You know? Your mind has still lots of judgment, lots of like and dislike, or like that. Okay? So, because our mind is not really mindful, that's why we don't feel any kind of liberation, any kind of freedom, any kind of lightness, any kind of light, joy and happiness, you know? So that's why we have to clearly know the real meaning of mindfulness, you know? So anyway, this original Pali word, the sati, and this sati is transmitted in mainly Theravada countries, you know, like Myanmar, Sri Lanka, Thailand, or like that. That's why usually Theravada teachers, they are talking about a lot. They talking a lot about sati, you know. And then therapist or psychiatrist, you know, they use this mindfulness for their own therapy. Then they like establish a mindful therapy, you know. Then they are using this therapy, mindfulness, for treating like depressed people or like that, you know. Okay, so that's why, in the West or in Japan or in India, you hear mindfulness from two sources. One is, of course, from Theravada source, and the other is, of course, more therapy, or sometimes like a guru or like that, you know. Okay, so anyway, mindfulness is a knowing things as it is, without liking and dislike, like that. Then, if you really try to be mindful, you will know that it's very difficult. It's very difficult. And that's why mindful knowing is totally different from ordinary knowing. Okay? So then, what is ordinary knowing? You know, like our mind is like this, you know, our mind is just running like that, you know. Then what is going on? Just check your mind. For example, if you worry about tomorrow, you know, if you worry about tomorrow, what happens to you? You know? Already, you are imagining so many possibilities of what might happen tomorrow, you know? What might happen tomorrow, you know? But this is not imagination. In your mind, it will become real. It will become real. That's why already it's very scary, you know? It's not just a possibility. These bad things will happen, definitely. Or already happening in our mind, right? And this is our future, you know? And the past, you know? We have already we have lived for many, many years. That's why we have lots of experience in our past, you know? But point is, when you remember your past, do you remember all these things? Already million things have happened to you, to your life, you know? And you remember each of them? Of course not. You just pick up only just few things. Just here, 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 here. One of the millions, right? You are not remembering a million things. Actually, in reality, already a million things happened in your life. But you don't remember all of them. You remember only just a few. Then what do? You make a story. You make a story. Suruji's story, you know, Reshma's story, you know, like that. But Reshma's story and what really happened in Reshma's life are totally different, right? Do you agree? You know? So, that's why, like this. So, that's why each person's story is different. And also, like as a country, like India, or China, or Japan, or America, you know, each country has its own story, right? So, as everyone knows, each country's story is contradicting each other, you know, contradicting each other. Because it's a story, it's not fact, you know? So, of course, it's different, you know? So, even if we discuss for many, many hours, we cannot reach any same conclusion. Why? Because from the beginning, it's just a story, you know? So, point is, actually, everyone is living in their own story, not in reality. So, because it's a story, of course, story is made by our own judgment, by our own like and dislike, by our own idea, you know, like that. Then people say, story, it's okay, you know, if it's happy story, you know, happy story, then I'm living in happy story, then I'm very happy. So point is, then solution of our life is just make us happy story, you know. And some people say yes. You know? Then how can we make a happy story? Now someone says, you know, like you just speak only happy things, you know. Like, I don't know in India, but in Japan, there are many kind of weird things are going on, you know. And then say, like I say, always say thank you, you know. Always say thank you. Do you have it, you know? Whatever happened, you just say thank you, you know. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, in Japanese word, arigato, arigato, you know. So repeat arigato millions times, you know, to arigato to your disease, you know, arigato to your, like anything, you know. Then you'll be happy. But, you know, of course, in your life, many bad things or many unhappy things might happen. But as long as you say arigato or thank you, you know, then everything's okay. You know, yes. Some Japanese teachers teach like this, and many people love it. You know why? Then, like people feel they can be always happy as long as they say arigato or thank you. You know? So, like this, it means they are trying to make a happy story. You know? Happy story. And then there are many kinds of methods. Mm? Like one method is, as I said, just saying thank you to anything. And there are many ways. You know? So, then because it's already a story, that's why we can make any kind of story. Then if we use any technique like that, we can make a happy story. Then this is a solution of our life? Of course not. Of course not. You know? So, our approach is totally different. Our Buddha's approach is totally different. You know? Okay. Now everyone agrees we are living in, not in reality, but in story. And One solution is to make this story happy, to make a happy story. You know? But if you try to do this, again you will find it's very difficult. Very difficult. First of all, it's very artificial. And you know reality is not like that, but you try to think, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. You know, it does not work. You know? So then, Buddha says, you should go to the forest and you should know that you are breathing in, you are breathing out. What does it mean? You know? So, this mindful knowing is different from ordinary knowing. Okay? Then, already we discuss, we are living in story, not in reality, you know. So as long as this ordinary mind is running, we are always living in the story, you know. And even if you try to make this story happier, it does not work. Why? Because this ordinary mind, you know, it's our ego, you know. Actually, basically, basic characteristic of our ego, our ego loves unhappiness, happiness, unhappiness, you know. This is a basic fact, you know. Please check your mind. Or people's mind, or like a human history, you know? We have been harming each other, you know, each other. Not just a war, like a World War II or like that, but in each person's, each family, we have been fighting each other, you know? We don't know why. But if we really understand our ordinary mind, we know exactly why. Because we love unhappiness. We love unhappiness. You know? I think it's better to just admit it. Why? Because then we can have a you know, another approach. You know? Because as long as you think, oh, people love happiness, oh, people want to love each other, or like that, then you miss the point, you know. No, we don't want to be happy. We don't want to love each other. Not we, our ordinary mind. You know, this mind. Okay? So, Buddhism has a very, critical way of seeing this mind. You know, this mind is creating our unhappiness, our misery, more like that. Okay. Then point is, if we have only this ordinary mind, our life is just stuck. But a good story is, good news is, we have a totally different kind of awareness or consciousness, which is different from our ordinary mind. You know? This is the whole point. Okay? Like, if this Buddha hall is only the world, you know. But in this hall, there's nothing but unhappiness, you know. But point is, there is outside. There's outside of a hall. So point is, In this hall, you cannot find happiness. But outside of the hall, you can find it. Like that. So, point is, mindfulness and compassion or anything which Buddhism is talking about exists only outside. Outside. This is the whole point. You know? But the point is, then your question is, how to go outside, right? Because until now, we didn't know that exit. Exit, you know? Exit, you know? We don't know where is the exit, you know? So that's why we had to stay in the house, in this house, you know? Then, in this house, you cannot find, like, mindfulness or compassion or like that. So, point is, where is the exit? Where is the exit? You know? Then, if we can find exit, and if we can know, if we know how to go through this exit, then we can go there. You know? But strange thing is, yes, there is a spiritual teachers. They know exactly about the outside. You know? But how did they go to the outside? Did they go through this exit or like that? Actually not. They are born in the outside, you know. You know that, right? So some people actually naturally they were born outside. And then that's why they can talk so much, eloquently, precisely, about outside scenery. And you are attracted by that scenery very much, very much. But point problem is, this teacher cannot teach how to go through the exit. Why? Because they didn't go through this exit. They are born outside. You understand? Or they just naturally went out, you know. Naturally they went outside. Maybe they are born in this small house, but by their genius or like that, you know, that's why naturally they went outside. You know? Like in Japanese Zen Buddhism, you know, we don't have a method. We don't have a method. Our method is just sit, and that's it, you know. But some genius Zen master, by just doing, just sitting, they just went outside, you know. Then talk eloquently outside scenery, and it's extremely attractive, you know. Then that's why many people respect this teacher. But problem is, this teacher cannot teach how to go through the exit. Why? Because just naturally they went there, you know. Something like that. Okay? But the Buddha is different. Buddha is different. Buddha exactly knew where the exit is and how to go through this exit. You understand? Then, this is the mindfulness. But the problem is, people could not understand mindfulness. You know? I said, knowing I am breathing in, I am breathing out. And knowing this is a book, this is a water, this is a bell. These, there are two kinds of knowing. But we are not sure that, like, how they are different, you know? So that's why many people think, oh, just this mind of knowing and just knowing this, I know this is a book. It's just the same. No, these are totally different. Because these two kinds of knowing are totally different, that's why this mind of knowing is a really exit, or really a way of going through this exit. You understand? Okay? So then, why mind of knowing is really going through the exit? No? Because this mindful knowing, I know I am breathing in, I know I am breathing out, and I know this is a book. I know this is a book. Who knows? This ordinary mind knows this is a book, this is water, this is a bell. Okay? But I know I am breathing in, I know I am breathing out. Who knows this? We misunderstood. It's my ordinary mind. Ordinary mind knows breathing in, ordinary mind knows breathing out. Then nothing happens. Nothing never happens. Even if your ordinary mind knows you are breathing in, you are breathing out, nothing will ever happen. You know? So, point is, mindful knowing is not ordinary mind's knowing. Okay? So, I said, we are stuck in this house. So, in this house, there is nothing but unhappiness. So we have to go through this exit. You know? And some teacher already outside of this house. And he speaks eloquently outside scenery. But he cannot teach how to go through. But Buddha clearly taught us how to go through by mindfulness. But unfortunately, we could not understand the meaning of mind, real meaning of mindfulness. Okay? Then, what is the real meaning of mindfulness? No. Point is, who knows that I am breathing in, I am breathing out? It's not your ordinary mind. Okay? Of course, ordinary mind can know, but it's not mindful knowing. Why? Because ordinary mind can know, but with lots of liking and disliking. Mm-hmm. So, only after we let go of our ordinary mind, ordinary thinking, something is left. Okay? Something is left. And then this can be mindful. This can know that I am breathing in, I am breathing out. So this knowing and ordinary mind's knowing are totally, totally different. You know? Then, point is how to change this ordinary mind, let it go, our ordinary mind, and how to reach this another consciousness, another awareness like that. That's why we are doing Satru energy meditation. Why? Because our ordinary mind is just living in the small house. And our ordinary mind is so good at creating a story, you know. And each person has its own story, you know. And this story can be always nightmare or like the only bad memories, you know, or anxiety, wah, 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 you know. So then this ordinary mind is disconnected from our body. Why? Because this ordinary mind is living in a very small house. It's our head. It's our head. Okay? You know that. Then, as long as we live in this head, we are disconnected. Here. That's why this head cannot feel our body. You know, right? You know many people like that. People are not aware of their body at all. No? Only very strong pain, they can feel it. But they cannot feel small things. Okay? So that's why we use this. Because we are usually disconnected. That's why by being reconnected with our body, we can let go of our ordinary mind. You know? So by being reconnected with our body, as we did this morning, you know, we are connected with this body. Then what happens? By being reconnected with our body, we can let go of our ordinary mind. We can let go of our story-making mind, you know, creating anxiety mind, creating bad memory mind, you know, like that. Then by letting go of such kind of mind, something is left. You know, then at that time your body is filled with a subtle body. But also, you can feel compassion. Compassion. You know, that's why after subtle body meditation, we immediately do compassion. You know, why? Because we will try to touch this something new. You know? So by letting go of our ordinary mind, we will get compassion and we will get mindfulness. You know? Okay. Then we will be free from our ordinary mind. Okay? So unless we get this new consciousness, it is impossible to be mindful. You know? So, when Buddha said, you should be mindful of your in-breath, out-breath, what did he mean? He meant, you have to let go of your ordinary mind, and something is left, can be mindful, you know? So that's why his purpose is, let us discover this new consciousness. Hmm? But we misunderstood his instruction. Then we try to watch our in-breath, out-breath with our mind, with our ordinary mind. But our ordinary mind is, of course, monkey mind, you know? Monkey, you know monkey. No, monkey is constantly moving around. So monkey can watch our in-breath maybe for 1 second, for 1 second. Then after 1 second, it just goes somewhere else. You know, then people think, maybe I have to fight against monkey. You know, I have to force this monkey to stay here. You know, that's why for many people, meditation is a mental conflict. You know, mental conflict. You know, like fighting against this monkey. and try to force a monkey to stay here. You know, you should stay here, like that. No? Then as a result, people feel tension, you know, and because you spend lots of energy to fight against your monkey. You know? So then people think, oh, meditation is a very hard job. No. First of all, it's not meditation. It's not meditation. Fighting against monkey mind is not meditation at all. Please understand. You know? So we can't let monkey to meditate. Then instead, we have to find something which is not monkey mind. You know? Then how to find something else? By letting go of our ordinary mind, by being reconnected with our body. You know? Then we can let go of our monkey mind. You know? Then something will be left. Then this will be mindful. This will be compassionate. So it means, I'm saying, we are double structured. Double. Not single. In one hand, we are, of course, we have this ordinary mind. We have this body, you know, like this. And this ordinary me was born in 1 year, in some years, and will become old, will become sick, and one day we will disappear. And nobody knows what happened after the death, you know, like that. Yeah, but we are double structure, that's why we are not only like this. We are something else. You know? So, unless you understand this double structure, you cannot understand what the Buddhism is talking about. You know? Some teachers say, like, this is a relative truth, and this is absolute truth. This is a secular truth. This is a sacred truth. Like that. Well, this is this shore, and this is the other shore. Always like that. But point is, how to go there? You know? Our mind is from the beginning perfect in absolute. Our absolute mind is like that. You know? Even Kenzen Rinpoche said, like at the last session, you know, she does a festival, you know? But the point is relative mind, absolute mind. You know? Absolute mind is completely free of any kind of defilement like that. But problem is, how to go there? You know? Only special people like Rinpoche or His Holiness can have this kind of mind, and ordinary person like me cannot have it? No. Absolutely no. You know? You and Rinpoche, there's no difference. You and His Holiness, there's no difference. His Holiness himself, he says so, you know. You know that, you know. he never says, I'm very special, you are ordinary people. He never says so, you know. You know. So, but point is, how to go there? You know. So by letting go of our ordinary mind, by being reconnected with our body. This is the whole point. Because our ordinary mind is disconnected. That's why we reconnect. You know? Then we can go to the dimension of this absolute mind. You know, you can call this with many Buddhist terminology, or not only Buddhist, you know, any spiritual terminology. But the point is, how to go there, you know? Okay, this is just a whole picture, and I will continue and we'll discuss more about the detail, you know? Okay, so anyway, let's stop, and I'll accept any question. Yes. Yes.
For me, so I thought it was yesterday in our meditation. Thank you very much for the rewarding experience. You had said that you wanted to reveal what it was that was watching.
Mm.
What it was.
Mm.
So that question would be nice to share with everybody. Or do you wish to share that later?
Who is watching?
Yeah, who is
okay.
Watching?
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Hmm? Well,
so yesterday,
yes.
When we were doing meditation,
yeah.
You said we need to understand who is watching, what we are watching, and that you would like to share that with everybody tomorrow. You won't say that yesterday, you said you'd like to share that tomorrow.
Mm.
So I'm just reminding you that that may be one thing that we can share amongst ourselves today.
But I just explained right now. So, okay. So, okay, so biggest misunderstanding of mindfulness is people don't know who is mindful, you know? Then, if our ordinary mind is mindful, actually our ordinary mind cannot be mindful, you know? Why? Because our ordinary mind is full of judgment, full of like and dislike, or like that. So, but mindful practice is good. Why? Because we try to be mindful and we absolutely fail. We can never succeed. You know? Why? Because our ordinary mind cannot be mindful. But it's good. But because by trying to be mindful, we will know that my mind is exactly opposite of mindfulness. You know? And we will know that exactly for this reason my life is full of unhappiness and misery like that. You know? And we know that to be mindful is a solution. It's true. But then, point is, this mind, this ordinary mind, cannot be mindful. Okay? Then that's why if we have only this ordinary mind, then already this is the end of the story. End of the story, you know. But the story doesn't end here, you know. So, why? Because there are totally different dimension inside ourselves. Inside ourselves, you know. Totally different from our ordinary mind. You know? So, the point is, how to reach this totally new dimension? You know, is a key point. You know, that's why we are doing this subtle energy meditation. You know, say this morning I said this is an exit. Exit from your suffering. Exit from our miserable life, or like that. Why? So by going through this exit, we can get out of the small world in which we are stuck. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. Then going through this exit, we went outside of this hole. You know, then only there we will know who is mindful, who is watching our in-breath, out-breath, who is observing things as it is, without any liking and dislike. Liking, you know. So that's why now you know there are so many kinds of mindfulness classes or like that, you know. But unless we have a clear understanding about ordinary mind and something which is different ordinary mind, mindfulness doesn't mean anything. You know, so most important thing for mindfulness is to know this one, which is different from our ordinary mind. Yes?
Buddhaji also speaks that mindfulness is not the fruition of the journey. With mindfulness, then we go to concentration. From that concentration, when we come to insight from my own practice, I experience a point in shamatha, in the concentration, when the empty mind is, it appears the empty mind is actually looking at the emptiness of mind, and then comes a point in time when the freed mind is looking at the nature of phenomena in the changing world. What does Zen have to say about these interweaving layers? Because interbeing is fundamentally the nature of everything we're looking at. Start coming towards suchness. How do all these layers, from your Zen perspective, interbe with each other, and how are they linked? And what is our journey from that perspective?
So, in Zen Buddhism, you know, as I said, there's not clear method, you know, but there's many genius Zen master, you know, Zen master, and they immediately for special, maybe I don't know, then they could move to out of this small world, you know. Then they describe things, you know. Then this is of course empty, and everything is of course interconnected, you know, like that. So, but. I use samatha and vipassana, you know.
Yes.
But concentration, like if we, people have lots of misunderstanding about concentration, you know, because concentration is not like forcing our monkey mind to just to stay at one point, you know. But from the beginning, because I know some samatha teacher teach like that. You have to fight against your monkey mind. You know? Like, you know, we see like buffalo, and especially small buffaloes, you know? Mm-hmm. And it can go anywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why farmers put some rope around the neck, you know? Then this rope just on to the other, like a tree or like that, you know. Then buffalo wanna just escape, you know. But it cannot, you know. Then finally, buffalo became so exhausted, you know, so exhausted, and just stay here, you know. Actually, some meditation teachers teach like this, you know. But it's not true. It's not true. Because buffalo is not the subject of meditation. Buffalo is not meditating. A buffalo cannot meditate. It's not like a fighting against buffalo. No. We are not buffalo. Yeah, we are buffalo, but at the same time, we are not. You know? So try to find something which is not buffalo, which is not monkey. It's a first thing we have to do. You know? Then at that time, this thing cannot go, doesn't go anywhere else. That's why it's already accomplished samatha meditation. And these things can observe things as it is with equanimity. That's why this thing is doing vipassana. So, of course, I know. I myself did in Myanmar. At first, we did samatha meditation, then later vipassana. But now I don't think so. Like samatha and vipassana is just one. It's just one. So it's not like by doing samatha, by we train our mind, then finally we can observe things. Okay, let's do vipassana. Maybe not like that. So because samatha and vipassana is just a different part of our mind. You know, our mind stays at one place. And our mind can observe things as it is. So our mind can do samatha and vipassana at the same time. Well, we should do that, you know? So point is, who is doing meditation is the most important point, you know? So it's not our ordinary mind. Okay. So, yes.
So you're saying that we should be mindful, but when you know when there is hurt, when there is thoughts, and how can you prevent yourself from being hurt by being mindful? Like, how can you separate yourself? How can you protect yourself when somebody is hurting you by being mindful? Like somebody is telling you, you're this, you're that, you're...
Yeah, yeah, I just... No.
You don't want to be hurt. So how can mindfulness play that role over there?
Okay, I understand. Like, if this is whole world, you know, as long as we live in this small room, we cannot avoid being hurt. Because anyway, we fight each other, we blame each other, you know, like that. So, then we try to be compassionate, you know, we try to be equanimous, like that. It's very difficult, you know. But I said we are double structured, you know. In one sense, we are living in this world with this body, with this mind, like that. But in other hand, we are living outside this house, you know. And this one, which is outside of this house, is not harmed by anything. Yes. So that's why, but at the same time, we are still living in this room, you know? That's why, if you think you are just living only in this house, it's very difficult not be hurt by someone. But if if you know that your true self your true home exists outside. Then you can deal with anything which happens in this house. You know. So, point is, practice, spiritual practice, point of spiritual practice is like this. We are living in this house, but at the same time, our true home exists outside of this house. You know, we know these two truths simultaneously. Then we can deal with the thing which is happening in this house. So, because usually we cannot deal with thing in this house. Why? Because we think, I'm only this part. I'm living only in this house. Then it's very difficult to avoid being hurt. You know? But to find out something which cannot be hurt, cannot be harmed, cannot be injured, cannot be broken, cannot be destroyed by anything, then you can have a strong faith. So you can live in this house with confidence like that.
And how do you get there?
Get there? That's why I'm doing every day doing. Just look at your hand, right hand. Start from your right hand. This is your exit. You know? If you don't go through this exit, you will be hurt all day long, all year, or in your whole life. You know? But if you can go through this, nobody can harm you.
What is this?
By feeling the inside of this right hand, we are connected with this body. By being reconnected with this body, we can let go of our thinking mind. You know? Then we can touch the other dimension. You know? Please understand, what we are doing is such an importance. It's not just sitting like that, you know. It's really life and death stuff. Why? Because as long as in this house, you can never avoid, you know, you say birth, old age, sickness, and death. You know, very sounds very bad, you know. And we cannot avoid this. We cannot escape from this. But the other side, there's nothing. That's why Prajnaparamita Sutra say there's no old age, no death. You know, but people don't believe it, you know. But Prajnaparamita Sutra, it's not like, it's just describe reality, that's it. Not twisted logic, or not like that. It's just saying the fact. And the fact is, there's no birth, no old age, no sickness, and no death. Like that, you know. So please understand how what the important things we are doing by paying attention to our right hand. Okay, I think today that's enough, you know. Okay, let's continue. Okay. So if you have any personal question, please come to my room after 5, and then we'll continue, you know. So after this, you know, you have lots of questions, but just by paying attention to your body or paying attention to your in-breath, out-breath. Okay? Okay, so let's have a tea meditation, and please come back here.